Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. The week ahead promises to be full of drama, with the long-awaited meaningful vote on Theresa May's Brexit deal scheduled to take place on Tuesday. The current prognosis does not look good for the Prime Minister, who is still struggling to muster adequate support. The leader of the opposition, Jeremy Corbyn, sat down with Andrew Marr to discuss what course of action he would be taking.
If she loses that vote, as most people at the moment assume, they may be wrong, but if she does lose that vote, do you immediately put down a vote of no confidence in the government?
We will table a motion of no confidence in the government at a time of our choosing, but it's going to be soon, don't worry about that.
Barry Gardiner used the word immediately, that's why I'm getting overexcited perhaps, but I'm assuming that you'll do it very quickly.
Andrew, don't get too excited about it. There's only 2 days to wait till the vote. I know it's your job, but it's 2 days to wait for the vote. We'll have the vote and then you'll see what happens.
So you're not promising to put down a vote of confidence on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning?
You'll see what happens.
Let's assume you do put down that vote of no confidence and let's assume you win it. Mm-hmm. And we have a general election in this country. In your manifesto, will you be promising to deliver Brexit?
We have a manifesto commitment of 2017 which respects the result of the referendum. We had a comprehensive conference motion last year which included a number of events, which were the first of which happens on Tuesday. Obviously, our process will decide exactly what goes in the manifesto as soon as we know an election's coming.
But can I ask you, would you extend Article 50? Do you think we, as a country now we need to extend Article 50?
Clearly, if Theresa May's deal is voted down, and clearly if a general election takes place and a Labour government comes in, an election would take place, what, February, March time? Clearly, there's only a few weeks then between that and the leave date. There would have to be a time for those negotiations.
Now, maybe for the reasons you've given already, you seem very reluctant about the idea of another referendum. Can I ask you, if Theresa May's deal is voted down, if you don't get the general election you want, so we're onto the, into the new area, as described in the Labour composite motion from the conference, do you then go for a people's
vote?
We're
then into that consideration at that point, but we've got to go through these stages
first.
What's
your own view of that?
My own view is that I would rather get a negotiated deal now if we can to stop the danger of a no-deal exit from the EU on the 29th of March, which would be catastrophic.
Marr was also joined by the Brexit Secretary, Stephen Barclay. Barclay told Marr that he remained optimistic about the government's chances of winning the vote, but was more evasive about what would happen if it lost.
Now, I'm staring at your jacket because I'm rather hoping there's a neatly folded piece of paper in your breast pocket or another pocket with Plan B written on it, and you can bring it out now and tell us what Plan B is.
Well, we're committed to the vote on Tuesday. There's still 3 days. Speaking with colleagues, we've seen from speeches in the House this week, whether it's senior Conservatives such as George Freeman or whether senior Labour figures such as Jim Fitzpatrick, that there is some movement in the House, and our commitment
is to
recognise that it is challenging.
But if you lose that vote, and most people think you will, there will have to be another plan, Plan B. Do you know what it is and you're not telling me, or do you not know what it is?
Well, there is a process in place following that vote, if we were to lose it, in terms of the Prime Minister coming back to the House.
You must know, and, surely.
But the issue is for Parliament and for members of Parliament is they face a choice on Tuesday between the certainty that the business community are looking for, that is good for our security, is good for citizens' rights. There's a lot in this deal.
Sure.
That
but,
members
but
of all sides of the House. Well, there's a lot it's in this deal that members of the...
It's almost certainly going to be voted down. It might not be, but it's likely to be voted down. And the country has a right to know, if it's voted down, what the government's going to do next. And that's all I'm asking you.
Well, the country does have a right to know what members of Parliament are for, not just what they are against. And it's important that the House comes to a view as to what it can back. There's lots of different plans being put forward by members of Parliament that don't respect the referendum result or that list at risk the risk of no deal, which will give not just Project Fear, which people say, but Project Reality in terms of real-term consequences.
I kind of thought you were pro-no deal. In the end, if that's what it had to be, you'd go for no deal rather than any other option, wouldn't you?
Well, what I support is the deal that gives certainty, that responds to the concerns.
But as I keep saying, that might fall. I'm asking what happens if it falls.
Well, it will be for the House to decide what it is able to support. And I suspect it will be along the lines of this deal, because this is the deal that delivers on what people like me, Brexiteers like me, campaigned for, whether that's control of our immigration, putting an end to the vast sums of money, taking control of fishing and agriculture. So this delivers for Brexiteers, but does so in a way that respects the needs of the business community. And MPs that vote for it will own the consequences of that.
The Transport Secretary, Chris Grayling, has expressed to Sophie Ridge exactly why he fears what might happen if Parliament seeks to prevent Brexit from going ahead.
She said that if MPs don't back Theresa May's deal, we risk a break with the British tradition of moderate mainstream politics that goes back to the Restoration in 1660. What did you mean?
I think that was a quote outside question marks. I don't recall mentioning the Restoration. What I said is we will lose a tradition.
My understanding is that was in quotation marks.
But, so. OK, let me explain. My concern is that we will have, in the aftermath of a decision not to go ahead with Brexit, if we do not fulfil the terms of that referendum, what we will have is the arrival in this country of the kind of populist politics on the extremes that we're seeing in most other European countries. We have always in this country, and this is where the point is absolutely right, we have always had, I think, a sensible political mainstream that has dealt with issues in a mature way throughout the decades. But what we haven't seen in this country is the appearance of political extremism in the way that we have seen in some other countries over the years. I do not want that, the emergence of the populist parties that we're seeing in most other European countries now, in this country, because we've turned around to the people, to the 17.4 million people who voted to leave and simply said to them, well, guys, sorry, we're not leaving after all.
And finally, John Mann, the Labour backbencher and Brexit campaigner, has indicated that all is not yet lost for Theresa May.
Will you back the Prime Minister's deal?
Well, a day is a long time in politics, so things can change. But as it stands, it's likely I'll vote for the deal, yes.
And how many other Labour MPs do you expect to vote with the Prime Minister?
Well, I don't expect, if I do, I don't expect to be the only one. I'd be surprised if it's anything like enough to get this deal through, but things can change. And you need to remember, I voted Leave in the referendum, but more importantly, I voted to trigger Article 50. I voted for the referendum in the first place. Every single Labour MP, apart from the honourable exception of Mike Gapes, did so. And my manifesto that I stood on, the Labour manifesto this time, said we're going to see through the will of the people and the referendum decision to leave the European Union.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And we also have a special offer. For a limited time only, you can try a month of The Spectator in print and online for free. Just visit spectator.co.uk/trial. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/Evening Blend. Thanks for listening, and do join me again next week.